Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Inspire Before We Expire podcast show. Guys, I am your host, Rael Sumter. I'm very grateful, thankful, and graceful to see another day that's never a promise. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want you all to really take some time as we're in the beginning of this brand new week to close your eyes. 5 to 10 seconds and really visualize. Where do you see yourself in the next 3 to 6 months? And guys, as you close your eyes, I just really want you to just know that there's more to come. That yesterday had its challenges, today's has its possibilities. I need you really, guys, to now open, release those fears, release those limited beliefs, all those doubts and uncertainties, and to know that there's a path for you. Guys, I know that tomorrow is never promised, but today we're present. So ladies and gentlemen, I just want you all to know that you matter, that you're worthy, and that the Inspired Before We Expire is to really help you get through the most challenging moments of your life, to help you get from those breaking points where you feel like you have to give up, to now help you reach that breakthrough. Because I know it's not easy. But if it was easy, everyone would do it. So guys, I bring to you guys today, very first time on the show, gentleman who has experienced mental health. He's been in this field for almost 20 years. Is the executive producer and host of the nationally broadcasted and syndicated radio show, James Miller Lifeology. He is a licensed psychotherapist who has been in the mental health field for over 20 years. As I said, after 13 years in private practice, James decided to leave his successful practice in the Washington, D.C. area and has created James Miller Lifeology, where he globally helps people simply and transform their spirit, mind, and body. Coming from West Palm Beach, Florida, guys, I bring to you my guy, my good friend, Mr. James Miller. James, how you doing today, good friend?
I am well. Thank you so much for allowing me to be on your show today. I'm very, very humbled and honored by that.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining and thank you for devoting time, man. And I know it's the first time on your show, on this show. So I just wanted to ask, man, when did the journey first begin for you?
Well, it's like all of us. We have life happens. Life, we expect one thing and something else happens. And the beauty about it is I like to really help people look at life as like a jigsaw puzzle. Every single piece in our life, the events that happen, when you link them all together, they create the tapestry or the picture of our life. And so for me, I can look back on so many moments which would really define me, and other moments which it seemed like, you know, like a little jigsaw puzzle piece, like this doesn't even go in the puzzle. Where does it go? And then upon reflection, there you see it. So, you know, for me, I actually was at a show. I was a guest on a show, I think last year, and I had someone ask me that, like, how did you get into mental health? How did you know this is what you wanted to do? I was 17 years old, and I actually was struggling with depression. I was really, really, just for whatever reason, I was struggling with depression. And I ended up being hospitalized for a few days. And in that moment, this is really cool. In that moment, I realized, okay, this is the day for me. This is the vow I'm going to make, that if I can do anything to help anybody else, I'm going to do that. So it's really cool because fast forward 4 years later, I graduated with my undergrad in psychology. And I was at this temp agency, and they would move me to all these different hospitals. And so I went to this hospital, not even thinking anything of it. And the next thing I know, I'm on that unit where I was when I was 17 years old, in that same room with the keys this time, and I had accomplished that goal or that vow that I had created. So for me, it's really cool because in the darkest moments when you think that there's no hope, there's always hope. And you just wait a little second longer and a little second longer. And then pretty soon, just like the jigsaw puzzle pieces I was telling you about, all links together. So 4 years later, there I was on the other side of it. And then from there, my journey just continued to grow and grow and grow, and everything that I've accomplished so far.
Absolutely. And what did you learn mostly from that event of going through depression? Like, what was the most valuable lesson you really learned that helped you really develop the strong individual that you are today?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know if it was one specific thing. For me, it was more in the sense of, well, if I'm here and I'm not going anywhere, so what am I going to do about it? So it really brought this resilience in me more in the sense of, I know I believe in God. So I believe God brought me here for a purpose. I don't know what that purpose is. I'm struggling, but there's something that's keeping me alive. And so there's something that's keeping me alive. And so that whole concept of something's there, something's there. So I didn't know what it was, but I pressed through every single moment. And I think that's the difficulty, where a lot of times we see people at the other end of their journey. We see them, you know, people hear me on radio, they see me on TV, whatever it may be. And they say, oh, James is this, but they don't see those times when we first started out, or when we're struggling with something, where they don't see the difficulty, those tears. And so I think the lesson for each one of us is we're not always going to be on the mountaintop. In order to get to the next mountaintop, you have to go through some valleys. And so the understanding of the fluidity of life, of we have, you know, it can be financially, have all this money sometimes, and sometimes you don't have money. But the point is that it's this pendulum swing that goes back and forth. So when the swing goes back and forth of life, nothing has to change. Your mindset doesn't have to change. But if you allow the circumstances to dictate what you're going to do, then unfortunately you're allowing circumstances to dictate that. So I guess to go back to answer your question, the biggest lesson I learned is it doesn't matter what your external circumstances are. You are still an amazing, wonderful, viable person who has so much to offer. And so you just have to get through a little bit more and a little bit more, and pretty soon you'll have that breakthrough, and then you could be on the mountaintop again.
So true. I just love that example, the way you just break it down. And when was it that you finally realized, like the day that came, that you finally realized, man, I want to jump into mental health to really help others? Because I went through it, and I see many other people are really facing it around the world. And I just think a time got to change, like something got to come about it. Like, when was that exact moment that came to you and you just felt like you needed to dive into that space?
Well, it was that moment when I was in that hospital. And that's when I saw some things that I didn't agree with as far as how some counseling was done. They were fine. I mean, I was 17 years old. It's not like I knew what I was doing. But in my mind, I had thought, well, I would do something different, or this is what I want to do. So that's really how it came about. So I started in that, and we'll probably get into this, but I have a lot of, a lot of interest. I do a lot of things like we all do. And so for me, once I graduated with my undergrad, I was actually going to go to the new school. And I had done a lot of acting at this time. So a lot of movies, televisions, television commercials and all that. So I was going to go to the new school up in New York, or go to LA to film school. And I had these opportunities, and I thought, you know, let me play it safe. And so I ended up going and getting my graduate degree at for counseling. And I was like, well, I'll come back to this later, you know, to the entertainment world. And it took me a while. It took me, I guess, 6 years ago is when I started to get back into it again. But during that time is when I started my practice, and I was working, and, you know, I was a university professor. I've done all these things in my field. I just kept going and going and going. And that was something that I really enjoyed, and just the whole aspect of just helping people. So fast forward years later, when I started James Miller Lifeology, that's when my previous gifts that I have as far as media, speaking, radio, all those things, when it started to come back together. So that you kind of step back once again, looking at that big picture, that puzzle pieces, to things that the interests and I guess the talents I had before are now coming back to the forefront. So that my picture is getting bigger and bigger and bigger for me. And that's something that I'm really humbled and blessed by as it continues to grow.
Absolutely. Tell us a little bit more about Lifeology. I have a lot of younger listeners right now that's tuned in from all around the world. And if you could just really dive more into just Lifeology, James Miller Lifeology, and everything, you know, just, I know you say you do broadcast, you do radio, you have your own practice. So if you can dive into that, that'd be awesome.
Sure. So Lifeology actually is a literary term. So in other words, it's for writers. And so what it actually means is the study of life. You know, we know about biology, psychology, everything. The ology part, it means study of. And then whatever the first part is, means that's what you're studying. So psychology, study of psychology. So lifeology is a study of life. And the way they used this was they wanted the writers and readers to be able to look at everybody's life. It doesn't matter if you're considered the quote most successful person or the person that's not quote successful. The point is we all have a lesson. We all have a lesson to learn and a lesson to teach. So that's what, when I created my brand, I really wanted people to look at. It doesn't matter where you are in life. We all have the same emotions. We all have the same fears. We all have such a unity. But the problem is that how it expresses itself is going to be different. So some people may have first world problems. Other people may have third world problems. But the point is, we still feel the same thing. So when I created my brand, I really wanted people to understand that it doesn't matter what any external boundaries are, we all are the same. And so when I started it, that was my lesson that I wanted to learn. Like, for example, here I'm on this show listening to you, and I can be like, oh my gosh, I want to be more like him. Or someone could hear me or see me do something and be like, oh, I don't want to do what James did. But it's a lesson nonetheless. And so the point is that we all, in every moment, have this opportunity to say, well, what am I learning about this person? Or what am I learning about myself in this moment? So in my show, and my brand really, that's really what I teach, is how do you create lessons for everybody? So, and really in that, that's where the Lifeology came about. So it started out, I moved actually down to Florida in, gosh, when I moved down here, 2015. And I gave up my practice and I was not feeling fulfilled in my own life. I was very successful up there. But as we all know, success has multiple faces to it. So just because I may have been successful in one part of my life or in another part, there are other parts that I did not feel as successful in. And so I had to take a look at that again. So sometimes people say, oh, this person's the most successful because they have this money. Or this person's successful because they have this car. Or this person's successful because they married this person. Whatever it is. The point is that when you really take a step back, there's so much more to success. And my version of success was good at the time. But as I evolved, I realized that success was unbalanced. And so I wanted to look at other areas of that. So that's when I was like, okay, I have these skill sets. And I don't like living up here in the cold at times. Actually, this is New Year's when I finally pulled the trigger to move to Florida. And so I thought, you know what? I want to do whatever I'm going to do, wherever I want to do it, but I don't yet know what that is. And so I had some ideas. And so I came down here 4 months later, and I took some time off. I was able to do that. And I started James Miller Lifeology June of 2015. And then from there, the brand has just grown significantly. So when I first started, I started on YouTube. So if any of your listeners watch my first YouTube episodes, they are really bad. I'm not going to lie. But the content was good. The quality, not so good. So I for 6 months, 6 or 7 months, I actually did a show every single day. And so each show was about 3 minutes long. And what they were, the little like life lessons. So like little life snippets. So yeah. I talk about pretty much anything from, four anger payoffs. Like, why am I angry? What's the purpose of this? There's four categories of people in your life. For example, only one in four actually like you. Only one in four will never like you. I mean, so I go into all these different elements of different life lessons that everybody can learn and apply. And so that's how it started out. And then I went to a podcast, and then I ended up having my own syndicated radio show from that. So that's kind of the journey of Lifeology. And everything I like to do, or everything I do rather, it's teaching a lesson that I've seen someone else do, or I've learned myself. And so like on my show, I have all these experts who come in and either, let me back up. They're experts, but they're also people that you may see on the street. Cause once again, we're no different. And so they'll tell their life story. And then I have experts who come in and talk about their expertise. And so I really create that platform for everybody to be able to learn and be able to grow and to be able to just be the healthier version of themselves.
Absolutely. I love that. I could just hear you all day, man. Honestly, you break it down so nice, man. Honestly, indeed, indeed. But I wanted to really, really, and I love the way you say you started on YouTube and how you just were saying that. And for those that's listening right now from the Inspire Before We Expire, go ahead and type in James Lifeology as well and look at some of his videos, because we all start somewhere. You know, every expert was once a beginner as well. And I appreciate James just being authentic and being transparent and letting you guys know that he started on YouTube, but he worked his way by being persistent, not caring about what others thought or so like that. But so I wanted to take it back to you worked in, you had a practice out Washington, D.C., correct? Mm-hmm. And you decided to really step away from that, from working over there for over 11 years. What made you, and what was that drive that just told you that, man, I got to take a step away now? Because you know why I asked you that? Because so many people, James, is listening, they just don't know their direction. They just feel like they got to be in a certain place. Yeah. For a certain amount of years, and it takes for that one day for them to say, man, it's time for me to move forward. So when did you feel like, man, I'm just now want to take life over to Florida and just start something different, continue the same, but do another mission?
Good question. And it was about 2012. I had went through a really a significant breakup in my life. But in that moment, as I walked away from that relationship, I realized for myself that there was, my focus and direction was off. Yes, I was successful in a lot of certain ways, but I just wasn't happy. And so I really stepped back, and I'm a composer as well. I don't think you knew that, but so I hadn't composed in a while. And so I remember the moment, the day that I ended that relationship, I went back to my piano and I hadn't played in like 5 years. And I sat down and all of a sudden this just flew out of me. And so that's when I did my first album, and from in 2012. And so when I looked at that, to kind of go back to what I was saying before, as far as the different skill sets that I had not really been, I hadn't utilized them in a while. And so when that happened, that's kind of reawakened the part of me that I didn't realize was dormant or that was not being fed in my life. And so as I started that, I'm like, well, what else is it? So I was more focused on my wellness in a way that I hadn't before. You know, having a practice that I would see 40 patients a week and still had people, you know, a long wait list. I mean, all this was great in theory, but I was just tired. And frankly, this has nothing to do with my patients. I was just bored in the sense of I was not growing. I was helping other people grow, and that's one of my gifts. But me on a personal level, I was not growing. And so I could sit with a patient all day and, you know, just help them as much as I could. But for me, my other area, I was not. So 2012 was really the awakening for me. Like I said, when I did my first album, and then 2014, I was thinking more, what does this look like? I'm not being fulfilled. And then I was actually going to move to London, in March of 2015, just before I moved down here. Yeah, that door closed. I was going to write. I was going to compose for all these different movies. And I had been blessed to meet a lot of really well-known directors and producers over there. But it at the end of the day, it didn't sit well with me. It didn't fit. I would say it didn't fit. That's probably the best way to say it. So I had some friends down here, and they're like, James, why don't you check out West Palm Beach or Palm Beach? So I came down here and it felt right. I checked out some other locations here in Florida, and it just, that didn't feel right in my spirit. So I decided to stay at West Palm, and that's when, like I said, everything started to grow. Worked on my second album, working on, you know, all these things. So that's when my creative side is really kind of blown up, I suppose, since 2012, blown up for me rather, in 2012. And that's the more excited I get as TV opportunities are happening, my own show. I mean, all these things are just really coming to fruition. And so, like I said, I'm just really blessed by that and humbled by that. And, you know, I take it one day at a time, because there's so much to do and not enough time. But at the end of the day, it's not about how other people see us. It's about how fulfilled do we feel in a healthy way. And so it doesn't matter if anybody knows who I am or nobody knows who I am. I am just going to do what I feel is healthy for me.
And absolutely. I love that. And what steps did you apply to really help you get through that process? And what was just the after feel, man? As you say, this was back in 2012. And I just think it's important because there is so many other people also going through similar, you know?
Yeah. You know, I found for me in 2012, when I really took a step back, is I just had a lot of distractions in my life. When you can't find that quietude and stillness within yourself, when you are continually running around with your friends, and once again, there's nothing wrong with that, but if you're finding that there's not balance, so if you're running around with your friends, you're working too much, you're not getting enough sleep, you're not eating healthily, all those things really add up. And so that's when I really instilled in myself, I need to have a morning ritual. My morning ritual, it's an hour long. This is just how my schedule works. And this is as an example, not comparing mine to anybody else. So for me, and how I started mine was I would wake up an hour earlier than I needed to. And then I would engage with my spirituality, my meditation, my prayer. All of that was how I started my day. And that's how I started to find the stillness in the direction of for my life, was I took time to just be quiet, not allow distractions to come in, not allow the worries of whatever to influence me. So when I would take that time and dedication, my life became less stressed. It became less conflictual, less busy. I mean, I still did a lot of things, but I always tell people how you start your day is indicative of how your day is going to go. If I wake up 5 minutes late and then I'm rushing to shower and to get to my meeting, well, then I've set my life or my intentions of that day to create chaos in every single thing I do. So if I'm going to be intentional the night before, I say, okay, this is my schedule. This is what I usually wake up. Do I need to wake up earlier for my quality time? Because if I do, then I need to know that. So I will always every morning set my alarm for an hour earlier than I need to for my first appointment or my first whatever I may have in my day. But that is what I started to do in 2012. And that really just changed my life. You know, my spirituality is what I do, especially when I'm walking my dog. Since I'm on the radio, I have, once again, this is just an example. I have all these different types of I am statements. I am this, I am that. And so because I am able to record that, when I walk my dog, I hear that every morning. And then the next part of that, as I listen to that, is these are my goals for the next three weeks or 3 months or year. And so I hear that. So every day as I start my day, I am blessed. I am kind. I'm generous. I'm whatever those things may be. And then as I start to say what my goals are, that is how I start my day. And then I have my day with prayer because that's important for me. And so that is how I've started my day. And that's really what's helped me. And it's a very practical tool. But when you set aside time for you in the morning before you have to do anything else, you'll find that you get blessed by that because you're not stressed out. You're not overwhelmed. You create your day in a peaceful, healthy, methodical way. And that allows for people to find that distance to say, wait a minute, am I overwhelmed right now? Am I happy right now? What is going on? But the more often you do that, the more you create that, the more sense of stability you'll have, which gives you the insight and the foresight to be able to make just changes that may need to happen in your life.
So true. I love that, especially what you're saying that I am, like, that's a powerful affirmation. So for those that's listening, as you said, that it does create drastic change, but this takes consistency, right? So
consistency always makes.
Absolutely. If you can tell us just the importance and what significant come up for you, like extraordinary, when you say that each and every day, to really explain and help them, like why you should use this in your everyday language and follow through with it, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I believe that because of the success of my brand of late, it's not because of anything I've done. I know people who are so much more talented than I am, and it's not about the talent. It's about the willingness to be in positions and to be open for experiences. Like when I first moved down here, it was really interesting. I think it was Memorial Day. Oh wow, Memorial Day weekend. 4 years ago it would have been. I met so many people when I came down here. I just like left and right, all these opportunities just literally exploded in my face. And then everything because of this mindful meditation and mindful prayer, as an example of that, there's been times when doors close. And so when doors close, it's like, okay, well, I have an opportunity here. What am I going to do? Am I going to wallow in this? Or I look at this as it's a closed door. A closed door is not an unhealthy thing. A closed door just simply means it wasn't the right time or right place. So where is the right time? Where is the right place? Let me look for that. And if we come from a proactive mindset of, okay, what am I going to do now? As opposed to, oh my gosh, this is the worst thing ever. Then all of a sudden, we lose sight that we are all self-made people. If I get lost in the fact that a door is closed and there's a time for appropriate time of disappointment and grief, but right after that appropriate time of grief and disappointment, if I don't say, okay, well then let me let that go. Let me look for something that's going to help me, then I will find it. So for me to continually do those things, I know that if I don't do those things, my morning rituals, I know that my day can get away from me. As someone who, just like many of your listeners, has been very successful in a previous life, if you will, you know, as far as back in DC and doing all those things, I know that I love to work. I will work all day. You know, sometimes 12, 15 hour days is what I do even now, but it's slightly different because it's more about, I come from a place of, I am the master of my life. And if I allow other things to dictate my success or dictate my self-esteem or dictate my self-worth, I am not the master of my life. Those things are the master of my life. So to kind of go back to what you say, I'm a huge believer in serendipity. In other words, events that happen that people think are coincidences, but are not coincidences. So that's something that I found for me. Like everything that I've done with Lifeology, I have not sought it out. It has sought me out. People that have come up to me or people that I have been introduced to or the contacts that reach out to me on social media or For example, this. I didn't reach out to this. I didn't reach out to Rock or on the How You Met Me from the show that I was a guest on. I didn't reach out to those things. And I don't say that about me. I say that in the sense of when you're open to allowing healthy life to happen, it happens. And so once again, this is not about James Miller. This is about James Miller created for him a morning ritual that allows for him to be open to what my higher power, what God has for me. Now, if I don't allow that in my life, then I am going to be working harder and not smarter. So if I'm like, oh, I got to call this person, I got to call this person, I have to do this, I have to do that. That is just even saying that. That's overwhelming. That's stressful. So I do what I'm supposed to do every single day. And I'm very thoughtful and methodical about every appointment that I have, every show that I'm on. I purposefully plan for that. But I start my day with this attitude of, I can't do this without my higher power. I can't do this. And so for me to come from a place of gratitude, to come from a place of now I'm going to speak to myself. I am successful. I am this. I am that. I am empowered. And then that empowerment creates divine opportunities or creates serendipity or creates providential opportunities. And so to answer your question in a very long-winded way, the reason why I do those things is because I have found that with an open heart, an open intention of this is going to be the best day ever, I find that it is the best day ever because I've had so many opportunities, which is created for my success.
Absolutely. I just love that, man. And for those that's listening right now, I really hope you guys are really listening, taking notes, and really implementing into your life. Because these are things that and tools that James haven't applied to his life and really use that I am affirmation into your everyday life because it can really help you. Like, do not talk down to yourself. So, James, for those who are in this environment, right, and they may have some people that's not supportive of their community or supportive of their dreams or so, and they just have that self-doubt there as well, like, how do they overcome this self-doubt and how do they just block out the distractions that's really preventing them from really reaching that next level?
Well, it's a great question. You know, keep in mind though, just because people are in our life doesn't mean we have to tell them everything. Like I know people, like when, in fact, and I'll tell you this, when I first started this, just before I moved down here, I was like, okay, this is what I want to do. And I wasn't sure how it was going to roll out, but I knew I had to say something. I knew I had a message. So I once had this person, it's quite fun fact, I just saw this person last week. This person back in DC, they're like, why are you doing that? Nobody's going to listen to you. You have nothing to say. And in that moment, I was like, wait, what? I was just shocked because I personally would never say that to anybody. At least I don't think I have. And so in that moment, I was like, okay, well, maybe I don't. But then that I am. No, I am successful. I am someone who has something to say. And so the lesson itself is just because you have people in your life does not mean you even need to tell them what you're doing. You'll find that, well, there's, like I said earlier, there's one in four people who will like you. So real quickly, from social psychology, we teach that there are four categories. So the top category is of someone that's going to be with you forever. They love you and nurture you and care for you regardless of what you say or do. The second category is those people who are good friends with you, but you have a falling out. There's a misunderstanding, and all of a sudden, what was once a great friendship is no longer there. So even if you reconnect with them, there's always that little bit of I guess you'd say more of this push-pull type of relationship. The third category of people, they don't like you, but they could be talked into liking you, but it's still not a really healthy friendship because they could easily fall apart. And the last group of people are going to be the people who don't like you. Doesn't matter what you say or do, they're just not going to like you. Right. So when you think of it from a social psychology standpoint, of these four categories, you always want to come with the top category. Every time you meet people, they're always in the top category until their behaviors potentially move them down to the other categories. So if you find that you're telling somebody something and they're not respectful of you or they're minimizing what you think or what your dream or what your goal is, you immediately move them to the other categories of saying, okay, well then these are not people that I need to tell about my dream or about my vision because they're not going to support you. So you really want to look at your closest group of friends, could family as well. Sometimes family, unfortunately, are not the people that you need to talk to. A lot of really well-meaning people can cause you to not move forward in your life. They could say, just because they've never done it, they'll automatically put their own limitations on you, not to be mean, but they just don't know how to do it. So if they were never able to do it, then their counsel to you is going to be, well, you shouldn't do that. You have a great job here. Why would you want to give that up? So you really want to be mindful of that in the, out of these four categories, always look for the people at the top category, because if you're giving energy output to all four categories, unfortunately, you're working harder, not smarter. These three groups of people are not going to like you to the level that this top person is. So you always want to keep that in mind. The other aspect is, and in fact, I just did a show about this. One of my favorite quotes is, you can't hang out with chickens and expect to soar with eagles. And so that was a really powerful statement for me when you think about it, because what your dream is, let's say you're an entrepreneur, let's say you're a business owner, let's say you're a musician or you're an artist, whatever it is, if you are hanging around with people who can't understand your vision, then unfortunately their behavior is more of a chicken mentality, where the eagle is going to soar and they're going to be the one that's able to just flourish much more than the people who don't have that same mindset. So you always want to level up, and everything you do, you want to find people who are able to help you, can either help you create a business plan or be able to encourage you. Whatever it is that people are able to do to level you up, that is how you grow and develop. So if to answer your question, if there's no one around, well, that comes back to your self-talk. My self-talk is, I am this. I am going to find someone. I am going to be successful. So you start from your internal self-talk. The people externally help give you that confidence and help encourage you. But unfortunately, you have to be the one to make that decision. So I say, unfortunately, in the sense of when you feel like you can't, you're telling yourself you can't. The other great things are, there's so many, you know, there's so many podcasts like this one. There's so many self-help books that can give you some encouragement. You want to really think about it in the respect of, you have so much downtime, in the sense of, if you're driving your car or you're commuting or you're at the gym, what are you doing to fill your time? Like for me, people always see me with a headset on when I'm at the gym or in my car, because I'm always listening to an inspirational podcast. I'm always either reviewing one of my own shows. I take that time of, how can I take a moment of me not actively thinking about things to grow and develop? If you need to learn a new language, well, pop something in your car, there you go. Or pop something in your earbuds while you're on the metro, while you're on the train. That's 30 minutes right there that you're able to learn something. So the thing is, there's so much time that we all have that we don't utilize to the most effective way we could. So if you're finding that you're not able to really find that endurance, there's probably some times in your life that you could reset, rework that out, retweak it, retool it, so that you can grow and develop. There's not everybody's going to be there to help us, but we can help ourselves by utilizing the time that we have when we think we don't have any time.
Absolutely. That's awesome. And I love that you put those four categories as well. That was just something different for people to really take some time to really consider, because I think it's important as well to not really worry about with too many, nothing wrong with viewpoints, but if it is supporting and encouraging you every step of the way, then that's what matters. Thank you, man, for sharing that. So James, I wanted to ask this question, man. So if your younger teen self was just giving you a call right now, you see James Miller on the phone, you're like, wow, you know? And what would that 3-minute, 5-minute conversation really be like?
That, you know, that's what, how do I say this? In my field, that's actually a very powerful tool that we use. And it can be, and I'll answer your question in just a second, but you can use this tool in a very powerful way, in the sense of, if someone has gone through something that's been very difficult, anything traumatic really, you can always look at yourself and say, you're the person comforting that person. What would you say to them? Or the other element of that is, if you wrote a letter to your younger self in that moment, what advice would you give them? And so it's a really powerful tool to help people take their wounded self in that moment and their more empowered self now, and merge the two together. You take your younger self that's hurt, and your older self will help heal them, and that merges the two people together to help them feel much more healthy, or two versions rather, to feel much healthy. Now, my thing is I would tell myself when I was younger, don't worry about it as much. Don't worry about what people say. Don't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. Don't worry about these certain things, because on the other side of it, you'll find that you have more than enough than you need every single day. If you're looking to, once again, always be on that mountaintop, well, that's not life. So I would always tell myself, don't worry about this. You know, when I was younger, don't worry about finances. Don't worry about what job you're going to get. Don't worry about this. Don't worry about that. Because it, always works out. And I don't say that and like, oh, this is my day is perfect. Point is that the mindset that you create for every single thing gives you the endurance and the ability to find the answer that you're looking for. If I'm always worried about something, that's causing me to have anxiety. Anxiety doesn't allow for you to be able to think in a very logical, proactive, productive, healthy way. You know, faith and fear, they ask us to do the same thing. They ask us to believe in something that has not yet happened. So when I was a little boy, we had those cartoons. If you had the little angel and little devil on your shoulder, think of it in that respect. The angel, that's the faith part. The fear part, that's more of that little devil. So in every situation we're in, you have the opportunity to say, am I going to come from a place of faith? And I don't mean that in a religious way. I say that more in a faith that I know this is going to work out. I can look at my past and it has always worked out. Or I can come from a place of anxiety to say, oh my gosh, I'm not sure what's going to happen. What am I going to do? And I would stay up all night, not able to have my morning I am ritual. And so the point is that we do the same thing all the time. We have faith in something or we have fear in something. The choice is yours because once again, they ask us to do the same thing. Believe in something that has not yet happened. So when I would go back to my younger self, I would just simply say, don't worry about it. You are going to be fine. Tomorrow is a wonderful, viable new day with wonderful opportunities, and you're going to be successful. And then the next day, you're going to be even more successful and even more successful. And pretty soon that success builds up like the grains of sand on a beach. And pretty soon you have this beautiful beach in front of you.
Right. That's awesome, man. I love that. That's amazing because you're really taking the time. I love the example that you said, writing a letter as well, which I've also vibed, you know, a lot of my clients and students as well, is to write a letter to yourself, you know, honestly, not for nobody else, but for yourself. And then you can burn it later when you feel like you want to burn it, you know, but burn it somewhere safe, right? But but that's awesome, man. I'm really enjoying this show so far, James, and which I do, which I know you got to listen to a few past episodes, as I show gratitude to all my guests. Speakers, man. And I just wanted to say, man, thank you for devoting time to be here, to devoting time to be present, really, you know, showing up to the fullest and really bringing your all. Everything falls around mental health, from your feel, from where it started, your journal, coming from DC, just everything that you're involved in, television, radio, all the practical tools, the steps, and everything that you implement into your life to really help you become this elite leader you are today. Because I want you to know, man, deeply, if nobody really tell you this every day, because I knew I did this yesterday to a couple people in my life and associates, telling them that you are greatly appreciated and you are making a tremendous, tremendous impact in this world, in this life, and in the lives of others, man, because there's not enough of that nowadays, man. So many people want that hand out or that hand given versus just a hand up. And that's what really matters at the end of the day, man, at the beginning of the day, just morning rituals. And those that's listening, I really need you guys to really take the time to also pay it forward. So, James, I just want to say thank you, man. And honestly.
I appreciate that. That's very kind of you. You know, and it's true. I think we all don't hear that enough. And I don't say that to say we are looking for that, but it is important. We don't realize that the words we have can speak life or death. And so just a simple, you know, thank you for allowing me to be in the show, or, you know, I was at the grocery store really early this morning, and I was just simply said something to someone. I was like, you know, thank you. I really appreciate your hard work. And you could see their face light up. Thank and it took you. Me like literally 3 seconds to say that. And you can literally change someone's life. So that would I would also want to piggyback off that it's a beautiful free gift we can give people by simply acknowledging their presence, acknowledging whatever it is they're doing, and being thankful for it. So thank you. I do appreciate that.
Absolutely. You're more than welcome, man. I wanted to ask you, what do you really enjoy most about your work? Just everything you're involved in. What is that one thing or maybe two that you really enjoy about this, just this line of work you're involved in?
Well, it's once again, it's evolved. I mean, I don't do the psychology part of it, the counseling part. I have a lot of clients from my show that work with me. So I don't do the psychotherapy like I did before. But for me, the evolution of who I am today and my brand and all that I do, it's more about I just like to create. I like to create environment. I like to create with words, with my voice. I like to just create. And I think that just comes from a place of, I don't really, once again, I don't care if people... Let me back up. It's not that I don't care. I would say more in the sense of whether people listen to me, don't listen to me, read about me, don't read about me. I don't do it for that. I do it because that's who I am. I'm a content creator. And so if that's from my music that I write, if that's from my words, if that's from whatever it is I do, that is what I'm supposed to do. So for me, I get life out of creating. And so that I can create a wonderful environment in a conversation. I can create a wonderful environment at the gym, with my friends, whatever it is, but I'm always looking to create. So from a global standpoint in everything I do, I always ask myself, James, are you creating life or are you creating, I guess for lack of better words, destruction? Am I yelling at someone, which I don't do, but if I'm upset with someone, am I creating a destruction upon leaving? So my motto in life is to make sure I always create. And that's what I enjoy doing, from creating a conversation, creating a show, whatever it is. That's what I look to do. And so that's where I get joy, is not about what people say about it, but it's about simply doing it.
Absolutely. I love that. I also, man, just want to congratulate you, man, just on a Lifeology radio show that you got over 3.2 million listeners per show, man. That's awesome. How does that really truly, I know you say you don't really care about people, but that's awesome, man. That's tremendous success. So knowing where you know how far you've came from leaving a practice that you had, the success you gained, mm-hmm. but knowing you made that sacrifice, like, how does this truly, truly make you feel? Like, was this ever a goal to reach over a million itself? Like, you got 3.2 million listeners per show. So how does that really make James Miller feel inside, internally?
You know, it's interesting. And first off, thank you. I appreciate you saying that. When I started, and I talk about this a little bit in some other shows I've done, it's when I started the YouTube episodes, I didn't start with the thought of, I'm going to have so many followers. I didn't even think about, and in fact, if you look, I don't really do YouTube anymore. So I lost a lot of followers, and it's fine for me because that's not my platform. But my point in saying that is, when I did a YouTube episode every single day for 6 to 7 months, my goal was not to have any people even follow me. My goal was to sharpen my entertainment skills, my speaking skills, my really solidify my brand. And so I'd actually started working on a book at that time, and I just got lost in the weeds. It was so academic. I'm like, what am I even saying? So I took all those elements and I broke it down to, I think I have 155 YouTube episodes that would specifically those 3 to 4 minute episodes that I would do. But my whole goal of that was not to even have a listener. It was to sharpen my skills. So my long-term goal was to be television. So, and that's where I'm moving right now, is a television show. So I guess people really look at, why do you do what you do? What is your motivation for why you're doing this? And once again, if it's for external validation, which is fine, but you'll find that if it's an external validation, once again, only 1 in 4 people are really going to appreciate you. So it doesn't matter how many people you have, if they're not quality people who really want to be around you, well, then you're just getting like a like on Facebook or a like on Instagram, whatever it is. And that feels good for a second. You actually get a hit of dopamine from that. But the point is that when you do something because it's who you are inside, that's when the external rewards will happen. But you do it because it's who you are, not it's because of who you think the world wants you to be. There's a difference there. You know, for me, I've had people, you know, of course, like anybody, I'll have opposition. I'll have people say things about me, and that's fine. But I don't do it for them. And so it goes back to, when you have that foundational strength within yourself, it goes back to, every morning, I am this, I am that. So I tell myself every single day what I am, because not everybody else is going to tell me that, you know? So you have to find that within yourself. So once again, long-winded answer to your question is, where I'm at today, I'm very grateful and very humbled and honored by that following. And I'm excited about what my future holds, but I do it because that's what I'm supposed to do. And so as the number to me doesn't translate to a number, if that makes sense. It doesn't translate to that. I mean, 3.2 million is a lot. Let's be honest. I'm not minimizing that. But the point is I'm not in a huge, you know, stadium talking to 3.2 million people. So on radio, you just don't necessarily hear it as much. You don't know it as much. You know, I get people will send me things, and it's really nice, you know, to hear some things that responses that I get from it. But from the grand scheme of things, because I don't see it, it's still kind of an abstract number at times. But the great thing about it for now is it evolves to television very soon, then that's where it'll probably make more sense for me at that time. But once again, when you have an abstract number, it's an abstract number.
I love that. Hey, I want all my supporters and my listeners right now to support you. So where can they go ahead and listen to your show and then support your mission, man?
No, I really appreciate that. You can find anything at jamesmillerlifeology.com. That's LIFEOLOGY.com. Or you can go to lifeology.tv. Either one of those will work. And on Instagram, that's where you can find me the most, is Instagram and Twitter. Instagram is James Miller Lifeology, and on Twitter is James M. Lifeology.
Awesome. Now, I know you say you're transitioning to television, right? What's making you really tap into that stuff? I think that's interesting, man. And I love television, acting and everything of that nature. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, it kind of goes back to how I started when I was younger. As a composer, I mean, there's, like I said, we've all have done a lot of things in our life. I actually started out as a performer at 3 years old at church. I was on stage all the time singing. So my undergrad originally was, I was a a piano performance major. That was what my original majors were. And then that ended up being then I got a music minor from that with a psychology and Spanish major. Long story short, all throughout my high school years, I actually was in stadiums doing concerts by myself. And so I was always been in front of the camera that way, in front of on stage. And that was something that is who I am and what I grew up with. And so for me to do the counseling part, I took a step back from entertainment. I took a step back from that life or that world. And so for me to kind of circle back around, that is, I guess, the culmination of my life. So I have the psychology now, the mental health, the life skills. Then I have all the performance stuff that I've done for years. And so now coming together is creating what my show is going to be about. I can't say too much about the show, but it's going to be kind of like my radio show and just everything you hear right now, but it's going to be more of a, how do I say without saying too much? It's going to be more of a, it'll more be relatable. So I don't want to be in studio. I will be in studio at times, but I prefer to be out in the real world because I'm a pretty active person. So it's going to be more about a kind of a docu-reality type of show.
And I love that. What networks are you planning on working with, or what networks are you planning on hoping to work with in the near future?
And that is a wonderful question. Unfortunately, I can't say right now, but you guys hopefully will see it very soon.
Awesome. Hey, man, I'm happy for you. I'm excited for you. You got all my support, man.
Thank you so
and
much,
my listening support as well. I think that's a big move because what I love about the journey, man, and it teaches us all something. You know, we all know what challenges feel like.
And we wanted to thank today's sponsors brought to you by Anchor.fm. Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's completely no charge. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone, tablet, or computer. Anchor will also distribute your podcast for you, where it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and many more. Guys, it's everything you need to make a podcast. Honestly, it just takes for you to really get started. Go ahead and download the free Anchor app and go to anchor.fm and look forward to seeing you create your show. Yes.
I feel like, but also out of this, it comes with a reward because of our hard work and resilience. So what I wanted to ask you, man, when you think about the term success, what does that mean to you? Like, what does success really mean to you?
I really looked at success because when I was younger, you know, we all want, at least I'll speak for myself. I won't globalize. I wanted to have a certain car and I was able to get that car. I wanted to have a certain amount of money. And so I worked on these things and that was good for me. And I'm like, oh yeah, I got this. But like I said, okay, well, I'm not fulfilled. What does that even mean? So as the older I get, and this is what I would teach as well, is success for me is more in the sense of quality of life. I don't need the most amount of money. I don't need a fancy car. In fact, I didn't even have a car down here. I didn't have a car because I was like, I don't need one. And so I really looked at the different elements for me in the sense of what does quality of life look like? I mean, I live on the ocean here. And that's not to brag. That's just simply to say, in DC, I didn't have this. I didn't open up my door here and have the ocean right there. I didn't have that. And that's fine. That's what was good for me. Now, other people may want something different, but for me, quality of life meant I can create my world as a content creator. I can create my world to be how I want it to be. And if I don't have something or don't know how to do something, then I will surround myself with people who can help me get that. But one a real practical way to do this, and a lot of my listeners have know about this thing, it's called the graph of fulfillment. And you can kind of look at that as the graph of success, or the graph of a graph of success. So what you'll do is on the horizontal line, you'll create as many categories as possible. So that can be from your health, your spirituality, your finances, your employment, your friends, your relationships, your nutrition, whatever these categories are. And then on a scale of 1 to 10, on the vertical line, you'll make 10 tick marks. And then for each one of those things, each one of those categories, you want to rate where they are. And so the more often you rate them, you'll say, okay, well then, if success means above a 5, well, let me really quantify, or let me measure what success means. So 5 would probably be more fulfilled. Am I enjoying this? Am I wanting to see more of this? Is this something I have invested my time in? And when you can look at this snapshot of this graph, it helps you say, wow, my life may not be as successful as I thought, or this category isn't as successful as I thought, or wow, I'm really successful in this category. So with what you have in life, it's not about changing your life to do something perhaps drastic like me and move away, but it's just simply what's in my life right now and how can I move those numbers so that I can be successful with what's in my life. It's not about who you're going to be tomorrow, it's who are you today. And who are you today in that snapshot really allows you to say, yes, I want to be more successful here, or no, I'm struggling here. And so in that moment, you say, you know what, let me look at this particular thing, let's say for my nutrition. Well, I'm not really successful there today. So what can I do today to make some proactive changes so that when I do this graph again, I'll find that my number is a little higher. And so the small little steps, just like I said, like the grains of sand for a beach, all add up together to create a successful life. So success is going to be dependent on what you think it is, but you have the categories in your life, current life, which can help you understand if you specifically are successful.
I love that, man. That's amazing. That's amazing. Those small steps always matter. And what do you feel like, man, just currently in your life, as you say, as you continue to progress and really just evolve in general, what do you feel like is missing? That one thing you feel like is missing?
I feel like because like a lot of your listeners, we do a lot of things. I feel like I need an assistant because like a lot of your listeners, I love to work. But sometimes I work a bit much. And so I need to, and I will, in fact, I have some conversations with a couple of the universities around here for an interns. So I'm going to get some more interns, but the answer to your question is, for me, it's more in the sense of as an entrepreneur, you have to learn to do everything. And so just because I, quote, can do everything, in other words, doesn't mean I do it well, but I've learned how to do it, that it can be exhausting. So you always want to have people who are experts in their field be able to help you. So for me, as my bandwidth is only so much, it's only so wide, I only have so much time and energy to do things. So I'm learning how to outsource, and that's something that I didn't have to do like last year, you know, a couple years ago when I first started. But now that's something I really need to do, and that's a lesson I'm learning. So I have a lot of wonderful opportunities, but those things that I could have done before and I have been doing now, I don't have the time to do that because my opportunities have changed, and what I need to do today is different than what I had to do last year. So it's a wonderful lesson, I think, for all of us as well, is just because you have done the same things over and over in your business doesn't mean that that's still what you need to do or what's healthy for you, because it goes back to, are you working smarter or harder? And so I want to work smarter so that I can create more content and have the things in the background, have other people do that for me, because as a content provider or creator, rather, I don't need to do some of those technical things that I used to do before.
So true. And for those that's listening right now, if it does sound like up your alley, James said he's looking for assistance. So if you feel like you can fit the description or the job, the opportunity, he has relay his email and his social media. You can contact him and really, you know, show. Do not be afraid to ask. You know, honestly, if you feel like you can really take on a job and a responsibility, because you can never get nothing if you don't ask. Exactly. And honestly, James, we're about to get out of here in a few, but I wanted you really just to take the floor for a second, man, and just share something with the audience that you feel like you haven't really shared much in a while, and just something you feel like they really need to hear to leave them with something powerful. So feel free to take the floor, brother, on the Inspire Before We Expire. It will be greatly appreciated.
Sure. Self-sabotage is something that happens in each one of our life. From the thought that I have about something, and then I play that thought out of my mind, and then all of a sudden I've created this argument with someone that I'm going to have that are not even there yet. So let's say I got into an argument with someone the night before. I'm going to see them the next day. I drive to wherever they are. I have this argument. So all of a sudden I see these people, and then I start the conversation in an argumentative way, and then they respond. And I'm like, see, I knew they're going to be that way. A simple thing like that is a great example of how self-sabotage affects us all the time. We have the healthy opportunities, and then we have the self-defeating behaviors that we've trained ourselves to do over and over and over again, which cause us to continually live a life of self-sabotage. So let's say you're at work and you feel like you're always being passed over for a promotion, or you're with your friends and you seem to be always left out. The common denominator of that, in other words, the common aspects of those is you. And so what are you doing in your life, and what am I doing? So we're no different, but what are you doing to continually create self-sabotage? So in other words, if you continually tell yourself, I can't do something, or I'm not good at something, just like I was saying earlier, I am good at something, the I ams in the morning, that self-sabotage of I can't do something, or I'm always this way, or they always leave me out, those types of thoughts create more thoughts, and those more thoughts then create a mind shift, and that mind shift creates external habits, and those habits create your lifestyle. So in every single thing you do, you want to say, what am I doing right this second? Is it a healthy opportunity, or am I self-sabotaging? If I continually do the same thing in my life and I don't know what's wrong or why it continually isn't working, then I'll have me slow down. When you can slow down and say, what self-sabotaging behaviors, if it's from my thoughts, if it's from my actions, is from the people I may be hanging around, if it's from certain rituals or habits that I've created, then unfortunately you've allowed your life to become stagnant. And there's a lot of mediocrity that will demonstrate in your life. Doesn't mean you're mediocre. It just means perhaps some little mindset you have and different things you do continually causes you to not be able to get to the next area in your life or the next breakthrough in your life. Other areas you may do really, really well, and that's amazing. But if you find that you still have the same repeating habit over and over and over again, either from a week to, you know, from 5, 6, 5, 10 years, then there's something within you that you're causing yourself to defeat yourself. Self-defeat is one of the hardest things because it's so subtle. We don't realize that the subtlety of our thoughts, the subtlety of our actions, the subtlety of our physical movement sometimes causes us to not be able to grow. The thing is, it actually takes 66 times for a person to do something for it to become a habit. So if I have the same thought, and then this thought, and it keeps going, and I don't catch it, then all of a sudden I've created a habit of a certain thought that's always going to immediately happen every single time I think about a topic. I've immediately created this self-sabotage in my mind and didn't realize it. So I would have you really slow down. And one of the best ways to do that is when you slow down in any situation you're about to do, actually speak aloud the thoughts that you have in that moment. Because when our thoughts go so fast, we don't really realize what we're thinking, because once again, if it's a habit of this thought, we're not even going to think about it. So if you speak aloud what it is that you're actually thinking, you have to slow down because your thoughts can't go as fast. And so when you hear it, you say, wait a minute, is that true? Is that really true? And so when you can actually really counteract that thought or really confront that thought, then that's how you start to break that cycle of self-sabotage, because the thought that you have has goes so fast that it immediately is cause and effect. I think it, I do it. I think it, I do it. And pretty soon our life is not where we want it to be, or that one area in our life is not as strong as it could be, or we continually struggle there, is because we didn't realize how many thoughts we had about it that caused us not to be able to be successful with it. So that's a really good tool as far as to slow everything down, to listen to what your thoughts are. The other way to counteract that is that if you are struggling in something, you're not able to recognize what the thought is, then when you do speak aloud one of your I am statements, what happens is our five senses are used to help us understand the proximity, or in other words, what's around us. It goes out from the farthest, from what you see, what you smell, what you touch, what you taste, and so on. And so what we need to do is when you say something aloud, it slows down the thought, So once again, when you speak aloud, I am successful, I am attractive, I am intelligent, I am prosperous. Those things you hear, it causes the volume of the thought in your brain to have to be quieter because you actually have to listen to what is being said. So right now, I'm speaking 100 miles an hour. You have some thoughts, but you're not really able to focus so much on your thoughts because you hear my voice. Right. So it's the same concept. When you are able to speak aloud those things, your truth, not what you think is happening, but the actual truth of it, you'll find that you are able to then change your thought pattern. So if you're not able to say, well, what am I thinking? Well, you can immediately do the second part of that is just go right into, I am successful. I don't have to be this anymore. I choose not to be this way anymore. Because that takes those energetic thoughts, slows them down so that you then re-implement or reintegrate or recreate or rebrand rather who you are and what you want to be. And that's how you'll find a way to reset yourself. So self-sabotaging behaviors happens to all of us. They don't always have to happen if we slow things down. Sometimes I hear people say, James, I've done this. Well, the reality is we've all done something. But the point is right this minute is a wonderful time to reset. And you know what? Right this second is another time to reset. So it doesn't matter how many times you struggle, how many times things happen in your life, every single moment is a chance to reset. I have to reset all the time in my own life. I'm no different than you. But the difference is that when you slow things down and you're able to catch it, self-sabotage is not as overwhelming or overpowering as you think, because the more awareness you have, the more successful you'll be to be able to make the healthy choices that you need in order to be the best version, excuse me, the healthiest version of you.
Absolutely. I love that. That's amazing. Well put. And what's the best advice you was ever given, man, in life or just recently or so?
You know, one of my clinical supervisors years ago told me, and this is, I'm sure we've all heard this before, that I am in charge of my own happiness. It doesn't matter if I'm in a relationship with someone. It doesn't matter if I'm out with friends. It doesn't matter if I'm on a show. It doesn't matter. The point is I'm in charge of that. Nobody can make me happy. Nobody can make me sad. If I'm in charge of my happiness is a mindset. My happiness is what I choose to focus on. My happiness is determined on what I focus on, what's around me. So what I would really tell your listeners as well is happiness is a state of mind based on what you focus. If, you know, think of a coin, when I bring a coin to my eye, if that's all I see, then that's all I'm going to see. So if this coin is happiness or coin of everything that's going poor in my life, then that is going to be all I see. So the point is happiness is a choice based on what you focus and how often you focus on that, because it's not a one and done. Happiness is a mindset. Like I said, so you have to continually bring that coin to your eye. Doesn't mean life is going to go well. It just simply means what you focus on in that moment allows for you to grow from that. So that's why you always want to ask yourself, what am I learning about myself in this situation? And that then says, you know what? I kind of screwed up there. Or you know what? I did really well. I'm really proud of me. And so that type of question allows for happiness and a sense of fulfillment to happen in one's life. So every moment is a chance to reset, and you are responsible for your own happiness.
Absolutely. You are. You are responsible for your own happiness. Guys is listening. I need you to say right now, I am responsible for my own happiness. As James said in the very beginning, and he followed through, I am. Powerful. James, when it's all said and done, what is something you mostly want to be remembered for?
Honestly, two things. I want to remember that I'm a kind person. And I want to be remembered for my laugh, because I think laughter engenders
absolutely. Crazy.
So that's for what I want to be known.
Awesome. James, we're about to get out of here. If you can share it with the people again with your social media, your website, and everything else that's coming up for James at Miller Lifeology, that'd be awesome. Some exciting events.
Oh, thank you once again. Yeah, so my website, I'll say that first. My websites are www.jamesmillerlifeology.com or lifeology.tv. Either one of those websites, they're sister sites, so you can connect with me in any one of those. That's probably the best one. For radio, I'm on pretty much anything you can think of. Any podcasting platform, any Roku, anything you can think of, I'm on there. But if you want to find out all that information on where I'm at, just simply, once again, go to both websites, either www.jamesmillerlifeology.com or lifeology.tv. When it comes to social media, you can find me probably most on Instagram under James Miller Lifeology or on Twitter at James M Lifeology. I'm also on Facebook, but I don't really use it that much. But yeah, that's where you can find me. When it comes to all my events, just simply go to my site and you can find it all there as well. I've had a fantastic time on your show today. Thank you so much. I really do appreciate it.
Absolutely, absolutely. You're welcome. And guys, go ahead and connect with James. He's an awesome, phenomenal, incredible gentleman, somebody to connect with, somebody to surround yourself with, and really learn from as well. I had an awesome, phenomenal time. I hope you all did as well. Now, guys, before we get out of here, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to take some time to really leave a review once this is uploaded on the platforms, iTunes, et cetera. Also, feel free to share. You can also become a monthly supporter, and you can also support James' mission as well. And guys, feel free to reach out to James and let him know, because I've been getting a lot of feedback from you guys and telling me directly, but I want you all to also reach out to these people that's devoting time, these incredible leaders devoting time to be on the show and sharing their story, their journal, practical tools, strategies, and tips that helped them in their life to help you guys as well in life, business, health, relationships, et cetera. So I had an awesome time. James did too as well. And we just, as you say, just say that today is going to be awesome. Today is going to be phenomenal. It's going to be a life full of blessings, but with every lesson comes a blessing. So we thank you guys for really joining us at the Inspire Before We Expire. I'm Terrell Sumter. He's a phenomenal James Miller, Lifeology. Tune into his show. Stay tuned for his big television series coming soon as well. And this is the Inspire Before We Expire, and we're out. Woo!